We're told the National Bonsai and Penjing Museum, part of the U.S. National Arboretum in Washington, D.C., is claimed to be the only museum of its kind in the world that allows the general public to enjoy and learn about bonsai free of charge. According to Arboretum Director Tom Elias, it's also the largest and most comprehensive one in the Western world, with the finest collection of mature bonsai outside of Japan. The museum opened in 1976 when the Nippon Bonsai Association donated a collection of bonsai to the people of the United States to commemorate the nation's bicentennial. Now, more than 200,000 people annually visit the museum's collection of 150 plants located in three pavilion houses. Newcomers are always amazed by the beauty of the collection and often become repeat visitors, says curator Jack Sustick. A well-trained bonsai or penjing specimen should give the impression of being a tree, not a shrub. Trees have well-defined foliage layers with open areas between them, while shrubs are masses of foliage that need pruning to define and improve their branch structure. Though many people believe such trees are simply dwarfed versions of natural trees, the truth of the art form lies in the creation of the image. Masters manipulate potentially full-sized trees and mold them into beautiful pieces of art that, with proper care, can last for generations, sometimes centuries. But take a bonsai or penjing tree out of its pot and plant it in the ground, and it will reach its full, normal height. Penjing is the Chinese word referring to the tree-shaping art of creating miniature container-grown trees or landscape groupings. Masters coax the roots of penjing specimens over large rocks placed at the base of young trees or shrubs in training. The roots of penjing plants often rise in sculptural shapes above the stones. Eventually, the art of penjing migrated from China through Korea to Japan. The Japanese term bonsai refers both to the plant and to the pot or tray in which it sits. The two must complement each other to create visual harmony. It takes six people to carry each of the museum's famous Japanese red and white pines, both of which are centuries old and 3 to 6 feet tall. The Japanese white pine, the museum's oldest tree, is nearly 400 years old. To call it a survivor would be an understatement. This six-person bonsai survived in a nursery about 2 miles from where the atom bomb was dropped on Hiroshima, Japan, in 1945. This bonsai belonged to one family for six generations before coming to the United States. Next to it is another six-person bonsai, a Japanese red pine that is the collection's second oldest tree. This 200-year-old was the first bonsai ever to leave the imperial household. Both of these pines were part of the bicentennial gift to the United States in 1976. The most photographed bonsai in the museum's collection is Goshin, meaning protector of the spirit. John Naka, an American bonsai master, designed this assemblage of 11 Femina juniper trees, each representing one of his grandchildren. It is certainly not easy to create a miniaturized tree, and it can be daunting, but the museum can serve as a valuable source of knowledge on the art form, says Liz Lay, who heads the Arboretum's garden unit. The museum strives to teach the public about bonsai, their history, and how to create them, she says. As part of the recently completed $1.3 million facelift that began in 2001 during the museum's 25th anniversary, the International Pavilion received a new orientation area. Visitors are now greeted by an exhibit titled Bonsai, Test Your Knowledge. The museum has also become the permanent home of bonsai gifts made to U.S. Presidents Clinton, Reagan, and Nixon. All that from a report by Alfredo Flores in the Manila Bulletin, June 2003. A very good resource to learn about and actually see bonsai is a group that has been meeting and learning together and reaching out to the public for years here. It is the Northeast Pennsylvania Bonsai Society, based in Pittston, between Wilkes-Barre and Scranton. They're hosting their annual open house on Saturday, August 25th, and inviting us all to attend. Robert Gruner and Carl Achammer stopped in at the WVIA studios to talk with us about the art of bonsai. Carl Achammer.
I went to the World Bonsai Conference, which only happens every 4 years, and it started in Saitama City near Omiya Bonsai Village about 30 years ago. That was the hotbed of bonsai in Japan. There was 30 nurseries there, you know, over the last 40 to 60 years, and then now there's only five, but they finally brought it back to Saitama City, and it was just, we saw the Picassos and Van Goghs of bonsai. And it's just, Japanese spared no expense on this show. It was incredible.
What are the criteria for something that is so special in that way?
Bonsai, well, the age and the history of those trees, or they're 400, 500 to 700 years old. Azo spruce, junipers, pines collected from the mountains that long ago and passed down through generations. And they might only have been collected 100 years ago, but, you know, Mother Nature started the work and dwarfed these trees. So that's where the whole art stems from.
You could say the bark, too. The bark could get aged, so it looked like it'd be several hundred years old. The layout of the branches and whatnot, and how flowery it is, if it's a flowering bonsai.
There's a certain philosophy. Is it part of a Buddhist tradition, or is there a philosophical context for this art?
Zen Buddhism brought the art to Japan from China, so that was definitely part of it. And I find it very meditative and just relaxing to, you know, just sit down and work on a tree for an hour. So you can lose yourself for a couple hours at a time. You know, whether you're meditating on it or not, you could just be relaxed and nicely in tune with nature.
I'd like to ask you each what brought you to bonsai.
Well, I have several friends that were in society and also grew their own. And I always wanted to do something like that. You can spend a lot of time. It's very calming and relaxing. And it's a joy to see the trees develop. And you can shape it. You can do a lot of different things. It's not like you can find a tree or you buy a tree and it just sticks there for display. You can do a lot of things with it. And once you get hooked into it, you find out there's a lot more you can learn. There's always more you can learn.
How did you develop the ability not only to do your own work, but your teaching as well?
Mm-hmm. That's just accumulation of time and reading and working and going to classes, master classes, and just kind of immersing yourself into the art and just trying to find out everything you can about it. And I'm still taking classes online and anytime I can go to see guest artists and do master classes, that's what I'm doing it.
And not only that, you can make your own pots, which is another example of bonsai. It's not just the plant itself. You can make your pots, you can design them, and it's really interesting. It's a whole different opening of the art.
The pot becomes the frame of the picture.
Is there an epicenter for bonsai in the United States?
There are a couple now. In the first week of September, I'm going up to Rochester to the International Bonsai Show, started by Bill Valvanis. He's a very prominent 45-year veteran of the art. And there's a good learning center in California. Now there's one going to be in Tennessee. The National Arboretum has our collection of trees. There's a Pacific Bonsai Collection. There's some in Chicago. So the art itself in the U.S., I think, is on an exponential growth upwards.
When you say our collection, do you mean there's a national collection?
Yep. For our bicentennial, Japan gave us 25 pretty priceless trees. And a lot of the American artists that started the art in the 60s and 70s, like John Naka and Ben Oki, they have trees there that, you know, their families have donated. And John Naka has his own pavilion. It's pretty cool.
Now, make no mistake. When we say bonsai, all right, everybody's thinking of a very small tree that's young or whatever that we train, which we have to. It can be a very large one, too. It can be several feet high. It can be several feet wide. It doesn't have to be just because it's an old tree doesn't mean it has to be a very small miniature. And some of the ones in the national, all of these different exhibits and whatnot, horticultural exhibits, they are very big. And they can weigh several hundred pounds. So it's not just the miniature thing. Like if you think of a miniature chihuahua, right? This is not the case. They can come in all different sizes, and some of them are several feet high.
Do you each have different size bonsai?
I have mostly the small ones.
I have a tree that's inside of basically a thimble pot that's no bigger than an inch wide, a little maple, and then I have a hemlock that's also 3.5 feet high and it weighs about 80 pounds.
Is it possible for us to go out and collect a specimen that we could make into, or do we have to draw on people who've done that commercially?
Yeah, there's a couple ways to start in the art. We use a lot of nursery stock, stuff that would go in your normal landscape. We're looking for the stuff that I go to the garden center. I look for the stuff that got hit by the tractor that's already half weather beaten. You can pick little maples out of your garden when the maples, especially around here, we have so many maples and little seedlings. You can start them that way. You can collect larger trees from nature. You can buy stuff that's already started. And we get a lot of nursery stock that's specifically grown for bonsai. So it's already been pre-trimmed when it comes to us. So we already have a head start. You know, that takes 7 to 10 years off of your design, you know, your time getting it to look like a real tree.
You could even go into the woods and find something that's kind of unusual. You could go to nursery, stuff the stock that's been sitting there that's never sold. And sometimes you can get terrific prices on them. So it varies. You can get stuff that's free. You can get stuff from friends, seedlings maybe you can do. You can go to mountains or different areas and you find something all of a sudden attached to a tree. You know, there's all kinds of variations.
You have a sample. Talk to us about the ficus you have with you.
Mm-hmm. This ficus I have is about, 8 inches high maybe. The base of the trunk's about 3 or 4 inches high. I believe the stock started possibly in Hawaii, if not a southern state like Florida. So for us, the ficus can't survive our winters here, so they have to come inside under grow lights. But they love, you know, spring, summer, fall, as long as it's not frozen. It's this guy's outside and just getting all the health it can. In the winter, it'll go under grow lights or the best possible lighting situation in your house. So that's where we get into the different. Everybody thinks bonsai is inside. No, a tree's a tree, and we have to get the right growing conditions for our specific tree.
Now, one other thing. It is a tree. It's a living organism, okay? It has a life cycle. And just because we reduce it, we miniaturize it, make it look old, doesn't mean we're extending the life cycle. When the tree, just like us, we don't know how long we're going to live, all right? One day the tree may die, or something you do by accident may die. But we're not extending the life. We're miniaturizing it. We're making it look old. But it has a certain lifespan of its own. We don't know what it is. It may last for a couple of years, may last for hundreds of years, maybe even thousands of years. But it's still going to die eventually.
And Carl, you said something that was striking about our ability to imagine ourselves walking under it. What was that?
I think all trees are different. They go through different levels of their development. I think if your pot and the tree works well together and you can picture yourself as this little 1-inch high or 2-inch high person walking underneath the tree, then I think you've accomplished the art in that tree at a greater level.
Because the proportions are right.
Mm-hmm. You really have a nice picture. The best pictures out there are ones that you want to look at for a while. There's billions of pictures out there. There's 10% of those that you actually want to look at. Same thing with trees. I have 200 in my garden, and I have like 5 that I want to constantly say, oh, this is really cool. This is the one that captures me. It's just the whole composition that will finally say, oh, that's an awesome bonsai.
And if you get it in the wild, okay, you got to imagine what you want it to look like eventually. It may take several years. You can bend them. You got to watch out. You don't want to snap them. You can wire them and whatnot. Eventually, you make it to look like what you feel like. And you got to figure out, too, what is the front of the bonsai? What is the initial look at it that you want and when people see it?
And when you keep mentioning years, we're talking patience here, aren't we?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And in this world in which we live, so many people are on devices and everything's instant. You mentioned the calming and the meditative quality of working on this. It sounds like a very important art for our time to help us slow down.
Yeah, that's a really good thought. I think that's, it is, you're right. You know, I'm on my phone way too much and it annoys me at the same time, but I need it for business and yeah, so if I could put my phone down or just turn the radio on and work on trees for a couple hours at a time, that makes you take a step back, which everybody needs to do. We're in a fast-paced society. that, yeah, my trees don't grow fast enough for the pace of society.
The stress level is lowered a lot. And what I'm very surprised with our NAPA Bonsai Society, our membership is growing. And we have classes. We generally meet at the last Wednesday of the month at about 6 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been growing over the years.
I think we're going through a whole renaissance I'm in the restaurant business, and I see changes in culture and people's taste buds. You know, I think really we're going through a renaissance of either learning or we want something different. We're getting out of this, the same old beer, the same old food. We're looking for different stuff. That's why the craft brewing industry is on the uprise. It's insane right now because people want something better. And I think this art, the art relates into that too, especially bonsai. I think that's why we're capturing some new people. We just want something.
There's basics on learning how to care and train your tree and the soil conditions and whatnot, whether you have too much water or not, or insects or what, or bugs. But every tree is different, just like every individual is different. So you can't get tired of working on bonsai.
And you have, it sounds like in that case then, a conversation with it. There's something that's non-negotiable about that particular tree that you have to work with.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Working on trees, the patience of the art comes with when you work on a tree for a couple hours, you got to let that tree rest 6 months to a year. So you just make sure it gets watered, gets the right light, and you let that grow. So if you're not patient enough, you go get another tree and do the same thing. Then you go get another one. And then you have 200 around your house, and then you're like, I don't have enough time to do this.
The one good thing about this is if it's getting overgrown, you can trim it, but you got to watch out because if you take too much off, it may damage the tree for the rest of its life. Or you may have to wait quite a bit of time, sometimes years, for the growth to come back.
One of the things people think the art is hard, I really simplify the art by saying you have to try it. You just make sure you don't forget to water the tree, make sure it has the right light source. That's all you need to do once you find a nice little tree that you like in your budget. And after that, as the tree grows, then you start learning about how to take care of it and trim it. Trees don't need to be touched every day. Maybe some trees once a year, some trees four times a year. And so as newbies to the art, I just tell people that it's really not that hard. You just got to get it into your schedule to water the tree. That's it. If you have other plants by it, water them along the same time.
The basic care is very easy, the water and the light. I mean, you don't have to be meticulous every single day. In fact, the less you do sometimes, the better.
Mm-hmm.
Do the maples, for example, the leaves turn in the fall?
Absolutely. Yeah, they can become really beautiful in a small pot. And yeah, they go through dormancy. So that's why a lot of trees like maples, junipers, pines, they can't be kept inside. They need the outdoor. They need the seasonal change. At some point, if you interrupt that, they're going to run out of energy and then they're going to die. Like the ficus, you know, it could be outside now here, but since it comes from a tropical area like Florida where they don't freeze, they'll go through their own dormancy, but bringing them inside underneath your grow lights, that has to be, or some kind of really big window with light during the winter, they can't freeze, so they have to kind of be grown the whole year long.
And most plants, you have to realize that there's a change of seasons for every tree, and you got to honor that. The tree knows best when it's time. Mm-hmm. When leaves drop, you know that it's shutting down. You can't just decide that I'm going to leave it in the bright sun all the time and, oh, yeah, I can put it outside and then the frost comes and it'll kill it. Don't forget they're small. They're very delicate when they're small.
Tell us about your wide tree.
I have a tree that was given to me when I retired from the federal government. It's shaped as a Y. It's about 12 years old now. And it's very wide, but the top is growing really nice. And it's very green. Unfortunately, what I can't understand is it doesn't like to be watered often. The drier it is, the better it looks. And I get scared because if it doesn't get, it's mostly in the shade. It's in a corner where it does get the sun, but it's not very strong. But the drier the soil is, the better it is.
Yeah, that's the specifics to some trees. You know, some trees are drought tolerant. They can run on the dry side where you might not have to water every day. We tell people to check it every day. Like some jades and succulents that we use, they store their water in their leaves, so they actually don't need to be watered more than once a week, once every 2 weeks. So it depends on the species you get. That's all. You just learn the species of tree that you buy, and you go from there.
What about the notion you were talking about, Robert? We take new trees and make them look old. What is that?
We take the trees and we try to figure out what the best shape for that particular tree, what we want. You can wire them. Wiring is how you can bend the branches. Basically, bonsai has one of the things is get it as a triangular shape. It's the way it looks. It spreads out on the sides. You don't want it to grow so much on the top. That's why you trim it. And you got to watch the soil. And there are ways to make the bark older. So it looks like it's been there for a long, long time.
Carl, do you make your own pots?
I do. I started a couple of years ago. And that's really fun and relaxing, too. Yeah, at some point, I think all bonsai artists are going to try to make their own pots. There's a huge American pottery scene, too, that there's a bunch of beautiful stuff coming out of the U.S. now. Yeah, the pot that actually this, I was going to mention, the tree that I have here, this pot was made by a friend in Lewisburg out west. And he's going to be actually at the open house. His name's Fletcher Kaufman, and he's going to be selling some of his pots. And they're all really good-looking pots.
You just mentioned the open house. Let's talk about what and where and when.
Okay, the open house is sponsored by the Northeast Pennsylvania Bonsai Society. This is the 28th year that we've had this open house. It's going to be Saturday, August 25th, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Midway Garden Center, 1865 Highway 315 in Pittston. Additional information can be acquired at 570-654-6194. It's on Highway 315 across from the Oblates.
And right around the corner from WVIA.
Absolutely. Yep.
I always tell people 2 miles past Mohegan on the right.
There'll be a lot of bonsais on display. There'll be judging. It's probably the largest bonsai display in this area.
And music, too.
We're hoping. Live shakuhachi flute music by Jamie
Orfanella.
Hogetsu.
Yeah, you know Jamie. Orfanella. Hogetsu. That's his shakuhachi flute name.
And that'll be around 1:30.
Because he has his teaching degree in it, or his master's in shakuhachi flute.
And we'll also have a bonsai tree contest sponsored by the people that are visitors that are looking at it. And there's supplies that can be purchased. There's bonsai plants that can be purchased. We will have demonstrations. We welcome new beginners as well as intermediates.
Last year we had about 50 trees on display, easily 50 trees. And to keep everybody's enthusiasm up and like their growth forward in the art, we try to do a little friendly tree contest. So we this year we're going to pick the best mame tree, which is something that'll fit in the palm of your hand. And so that's your super small tree. Then we're going to have a medium-sized one and then a large, you know, just the best in show for that. We have Fletcher's going to help judge. I think our other friend who's a prominent artist is going to help just pick out the best looking trees. We've had a bunch of new people come in, repot their first tree at the open house and do some work on it. So we have a lot of members on hand that will get you through the starting process of it and get you going in the art.
You mentioned classes. So Carl, you do offer classes through the society?
Yeah, we teach. The society does a one-on-one class at least once a year. We do any kind of private lessons to group lessons at Midway Garden Center. So all you got to do is call us up there. By the open house, we will have some scheduled for September and October. And usually the week after, I try to do a one-on-one class when it's fresh in people's minds.
And every month that we have the meetings, as I said, they're on last Wednesday of the month at 6 o'clock at Midway Gardens, we have different agendas. We have guest lecturers, we have hands-on, we have training. So it's always, always different.
Is there a website? I see the phone number, but do you have a
yes,
website?
Yes, nepabonsai.com. Yeah, and we have a Facebook, too.
Right.
So Midway Garden Center will offer any VIA members, please bring your membership card, and we'll offer you a 10% discount on probably nursery stock and the bonsai-related materials. It's going to happen rain or shine. We will have tents set up for demonstrations and everything. We have a little lunch. We have some refreshments for you. And yeah, definitely come on out. Just hang out for a half an hour or the whole day. You don't have to buy a tree. We need people to just enjoy art too. You know, not everybody has to be an artist. People need to enjoy the art.
Carl Achhammer and Robert Gruner of the Northeast Pennsylvania Bonsai Society speaking with us about the group and the art and inviting us to the annual open house of the Society, Saturday, August 25th, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Midway Garden Center, 1865 Highway 315 in Pittston, Pennsylvania, very close to exits from Route 81 and the Pennsylvania Turnpike. For more information online, nepabonsai.com, and bonsai is spelled B-O-N-S-A-I, nepabonsai.com, or call area code 570-654-6194, 654-6194. The Northeast Pennsylvania Bonsai Society Open House, Saturday, August 25th, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. The Northeast Pennsylvania Bonsai Society meets the last Wednesday of each month at 6 o'clock at the Midway Garden Center, 1865 Highway 315 in Pittston. Also, we want to note that while they were here, Carl took a picture of the ficus he brought to show us on the radio, and we'll be putting that photo up on the WVIA website so you can see what he was talking about and about Fletcher Kaufman's pot, the potter, who will also be at the open house. And so you can check the WVIA website, wvia.org, art scene, and more information, nepabonsai.com.